Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You see where we got that from today's reading? Straight from the scriptures. Well, it was an interesting day. The Pharisees had gathered yet again to try to figure out how to get Jesus caught in his own words. They'd already tried to trap Jesus with his politics. Remember that one? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? They tried to catch him in theology. The Sadducees did that just a little bit earlier. Hey, Jesus, what about this resurrection thing? And now they send a lawyer, an expert in the law. This is the law of Moses, to test him with one final question. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? I suppose it sounds like an innocent enough a question, doesn't it? It's the question that all of us probably contemplate time and time again. What is it that I really need to do? What is the most important thing that I need to be sure that I've taken care of? But this isn't out of curiosity. This is not their effort to try to understand. This is not an effort to try to delve deeply into God's word. It is a calculated question. They want to test Jesus, and they're hoping that in testing Jesus, they'll expose him, to measure his teaching against their standards, what they say God wants from folks, rather than what God in the flesh says he has come to give to us. And suddenly in that moment, the law became a perfect weapon. Perfect weapon. Isn't that sometimes what we use our Bibles for? Perfect weapons. When I was in the South, we used to joke about how you could look at a preacher's Bible and measure how hard it would feel when he brought it down on your head. You know, sometimes when we approach God's word, we recognize and confess that it is indeed a weapon, but it's a dangerous weapon. And the question is will you safely wield it? Because when you begin to use it to judge others, it also judges you. Right? In Deuteronomy, Moses summarizes what God requires. What does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord. Oh, that sounds easy enough, huh? Well, that's not a checklist, brothers and sisters. What that really is a total claim on your life. That's what that is. I mean, most of us probably when we were listening to it, were thinking about it. Let's see. Fear the Lord. Yeah, fear the Lord. Walk in his ways. Yeah, mostly. Well, check that off. Love him. Well, yes, I love him. Serve the Lord. Yeah. Well, I did volunteer at church, so yeah, we'll take that one off too. With all your heart and with all your soul. And then we get to, and keep the commandments of the Lord. Take the paper, wad it up, and throw it away on that one. Oh, well. Now, what God is telling us is I want to control all of your life. I want to be in your life totally. I want every moment of your life to be mine. I want every cell in your body to be mine. Every step, every thought, every affection. God doesn't require just some of you. He wants all of you. And it continues. Love the sojourner, for you were sojourners in Egypt. Now that word, oh my goodness, in the last couple of months has become so politicized. The ancient world didn't really know anything about nation states or how we understand them today. What the ancient world had were empires, kingdoms. And oftentimes these empires and kingdoms had overlapping lands. And they weren't forged by maps or courts of law. They were forged by the might of cavalries and the strength of infantries. But there were different cultures. There were different people. There were people who were, quote unquote, outsiders. There's nothing wrong with being an outsider. When my family and I moved to Wisconsin for the first couple of months, we felt very much outside. What is this hot dish you guys talk about? We've never heard of that before. Things like when I say something is mean, y'all thought I was saying that they were hateful or rude. I was meaning they're tight, they're organized. Even within our own nation, we have different ways of talking. We have folks who probably came into this church, maybe even today, that said, oh my goodness, what on earth is happening here? How does everybody know what they're supposed to be saying and singing? There are people who are outsiders. If we would walk into other places, we might be the outsider. We might be the one that doesn't understand. Or the, you know, yellow and purple to a football game. Didn't even realize it's supposed to be wearing green and yellow, right? Who is the stranger in your life? Who is the outsider in your life? Well, I think the Bible is pretty clear. It's the guy or the gal who can't repay you. The one who doesn't look like you. The one who doesn't live like you. The one who doesn't see life the way you see it. These are challenges, man. These are hard. Half of the conversations I have with folks who are outside of the faith, outside of the church, are about just trying to figure out how to talk to one another. What words mean? What do they mean when they say salvation? What do I mean when I say salvation? What do they mean when they say sin? What do I mean when they say sin? We're different. And listen, it takes work to get to know each other. And it takes time to get to know each other. My wife and I celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary this past week. We're kind of figuring each other out now. I mean, kind of. I saw a lot of husbands and wives. Some of the men were like, I still don't know who she is. I just sit quietly. But the law still is beautiful. It reveals what a holy life looks like. But the problem with the law, it's not really a problem. The interesting thing of the law is that the more clearly you see it, the more clearly you recognize that you and I fall short of it. Every chance, every moment we say, yeah, I got that down. And then you go into the next situation like, man, I thought I had that down. Now I don't. You see, a relationship with God isn't just a checklist that we get to earn our way into heaven. It is a way of life of growing in faith and knowledge and experience of who he is and what he does in this world. And just because I dress differently than the rest of you, I do not have God figured out. I'm getting ready to go to a conference to talk to other pastors about how to do outreach, how to do evangelism, how to do church revitalization. I'm going to turn the little recording thing on. I have no clue how that works. Because the Holy Spirit does it at the end of the day, not me. And which one of us can peer into the mind of God and describe it or explain it? How about the sojourner in your life who is the difficult neighbor, the broken family member, or those who we are told are the enemy? If we're honest, we realize what Israel realized. What every sinner eventually realizes, the law doesn't just simply reveal God's will, it reveals our failure to do it. That's the second purpose of the law, as Luther teaches it. It mirrors our need for a Savior. But for too many of us, we either get bogged down in defending how we do a better job at fulfilling the law than our neighbor does, or suddenly piety has become pietism. I'm a better Christian. I'm a better person. I'm worthy of God's love than the other person is. And the Pharisee asks a law question. And they expect Jesus' answer to endorse their faithfulness. Did you hear that? They asked a question expecting the Son of God to say, God is pleased with you. They did not expect his answer to condemn them. And yet Jesus answers with the scripture itself. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. He's answered the question perfectly. And yet he's not finished, because then he turns the tables. Well, what do you think about Christ? Whose son is he? What do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he? They answer confidently, because that's what the Bible teaches. It's the son of David. That's true, but it's not the whole truth. And Jesus presses further. How is it then that David in the spirit calls him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how is he your son? Did you follow that? We talked about it in Sunday school. If you didn't, ask somebody that went to Sunday school. Because it's not a riddle. It's a revelation. And it's a revelation that echoes throughout the New Testament and down through the centuries. The Pharisees had asked a law question to trap Jesus in his own words. And Jesus now asks a gospel question to free them from their own understanding or lack of understanding. The Messiah is not merely David's son. He is David's Lord. True man. Born of Mary, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity. The one who stands before them is the fulfillment of everything that the law has been pointing toward. He is the one who will love the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He is the one who will love his neighbor, yes, even his enemies, unto death. It isn't about how they should do better, but how he has fulfilled it. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to preach this until I'm blue in the faith. When you come to visit me, when I'm on my deathbed, I'm going to say this. It is not that we have been given some revelation or knowledge that now, because we're Christians, we can fulfill the law. It is that Jesus Christ perfectly fulfilled the law and in his divinity paid the penalty of our disobedience. It is he who does all things perfectly, not us. When the psalmist declares that we are to love the Lord our God, it is he who has done that. When the law says that we are called to love our neighbors, even to lay our life down for them, it is he who has done that. St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. What the law demanded, Christ fulfilled. Did you hear that? What the law condemned, Christ bore. What the law could never give, the gospel now bestows grace, forgiveness, and fellowship with the Son of God. The Pharisees wanted to test Jesus, but on the cross, it was Jesus who would be tested. By suffering, by rejection, by death itself, and it's a test that he passed, and he passed that test for you. His perfect obedience becomes your righteousness. His death becomes your life. His faithfulness becomes your fellowship with God. Yeah, but Pastor, shouldn't I be a better person? Sure. Yes, of course. But it's not to earn God's righteousness. It is a response to what God has already done to you and for you. It's the great exchange. He has borne the weight of all of our sin. He has paid the price of our disobedience, our rebellion, our greed, our brokenness. And he has given us all of his righteousness. So that when the Father looks at us, he doesn't see our filthy rags. He sees the righteousness of his Son. If you are to stand before the Father and he says why, and St. Peter says, why should I let him in? Why should I let you in? If the answer begins with a first person singular pronoun, it's the wrong answer. Because I. Any answer must begin because he. Because he has done it. And the Pharisees left that day speechless. They came to test Jesus and found that his word tested them instead. And so it does for us. And yet the law still asks its piercing question. Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart? In the law. Listen, I'm almost done. In the law. That answer will always be no. I don't. But the gospel is here too. Because the gospel still gives its gracious answer. Yes. And why is it yes? Because you've done a better job? No. Because Christ has loved you with all of his love. And so now, because of his love, you are redeemed, you are forgiven, and you are now free to love, not to earn God's favor, but because we already have it in Christ. Free to love the sojourner, free to love the neighbor, free to love the stranger, free to walk in God's ways. Set free from fear and given faith. And through it all, we confess with Paul, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.